All right, and welcome back. It is the aha moment. It is episode 15, and I'm so excited tonight. I'm here with my co-host, Irene Barber.
Hello, hello. And your name is Erin Backus. Don't forget
to
say
that. What?
No, you forgot this time.
Oh, no. I swear I said my name. Oh, my goodness. So we are co-hosts of the aha moment, and we bring to you every month a new guest speaker. Typically we have horticultural therapists or people that are in related professions talking about, well, Irene, you kind of describe it better, talking about their
inspiration, their realization, their epiphany of wanting to venture into a practice that is so holistic like horticultural therapy, or maybe if they're in occupational therapy, they want to utilize the benefits of plants in their practice.
Yeah. So tonight we have Deb. Hi, say hi, Deb.
Hi, everyone.
We have Deb Krause with us this evening, and Deb has had her HTM for over 40 years. Is that right, Deb?
A little less.
She was the program coordinator and teacher at the Horticulture Center for the Perkins School for the Blind. She was the co-founder of the Northeast chapter of the AHTA, which is now known as NEHTN, which is the ladies. What is it?
Northeast Horticultural Therapy Network. Woohoo!
And Deb is now currently working as a consult for programs in the New England area, such as botanical gardens. Anyways, I'm gonna let Deb tell her side of the story, but Irene, take it away.
Great, well, thank you so much, Deb, for joining us. And it's wonderful to have somebody who has such a leg of experience, such as yourself. First off, you know, I've known you for a number of years, but I've never really gotten to know how you came into the world of horticultural therapy. How did that arise for you?
Thank you for asking me this evening. It's an honor, and I hope what I share is inspirational and helpful to all. My aha moment, and I love the name you chose for this, is I can pinpoint it exactly despite and still feel it, even though it was many, many years ago, back in the 70s. In ninth grade, I was attending a day school, a Jewish day school outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where my father happened to be the head of the science department. In that capacity, he started many clubs like we had back then in high school days, like pre-med, photography, etc. Well, guess what one of the clubs was? The horticulture club. Up until then, I wasn't driven, connected, or anything like that. But back then, in that capacity, the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society sent what was then like the educational liaison out to schools, like a job three of us could have now. And that person, in order to start our horticulture club with students, which I joined, brought an artificial light unit for growing plants, tabletop, and African violets. That was it for horticulture. I'll get to the therapy in a minute. And I was just like, immediately, I can picture that lab in early 1970s. I can picture all the colorful flowers on the violets and the, you know, that blue red glow from artificial lights. And that's how our horticulture club started. In addition to our school then was kind of groundbreaking. We weren't in a regular building. We were in an old estate, like a mansion. Mm-hmm. Well, the mansion had a little glass greenhouse out on the grounds.
Ooh,
and part of, yeah. So I like to say, I hope he's not listening, my old English teacher, I loved 12th grade English. And I used to hang out in the greenhouse instead of going to English class. This may be get edited out, Erin. You'll decide later. But meaning I was
keeping it.
And it was a little freestanding glass greenhouse. And that same person that helped us with the lights helped us start growing cut flowers. And back then, it was snapdragons were really popular, and you had a rope grid to grow each one in, and that was it. And then I organized the club, and many of us used to do things together in it, like going to flower shows together. But the question was, you know, when you start applying, thinking about colleges or post high school, what do you want to do? Or what might your major be? And back then, the National Association, which also had a very long name, NCTRH, mm-hmm. National Council for Therapy and Rehabilitation Through Horticulture, before it changed to AHTA, currently the American Horticultural Therapy Association, had just been forming in the mid 70s. So there wasn't yet a full blown national association, but it existed. So we didn't have registration yet. There was no core curriculum like a committee I chaired developed years ago, but it was there. So,
and at what age did you learn about that organization?
14.
Wow.
Maybe 15, but still young. So what happened was, kind of young, in 11th grade, you start thinking about applying to colleges and visiting. So I was like, I really liked horticulture because I was like hooked right away. The African violets, the club, the growing of the snapdragon flowers, and you know, they have a sweet fragrance to them and they're beautiful. And but I didn't want to, like, I couldn't envision myself like working in a greenhouse or that kind of thing. And I always loved special ed. I always had an affinity, natural inclination, warm spot in my heart for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Now, as we would say, with all abilities. Mm-hmm. So in not knowing that horticultural therapy, so in 11th grade, I was like 14, 15, was an actual thing or a field or a developing profession. Mm-hmm. And again, this is as clear as anything. And, you know, this is in 1973 and I remember it. There was a woman who worked in the office in our school. She knew of my interest, and I was out in the foyer of the school one day, and she comes out with this little teeny tiny article, like from the New York Times or something, that's, I don't have it anymore. It said something like, send, imagine this, 50 cents away for, and it was a pamphlet called Horticulture as a Therapeutic Tool. It was a great pamphlet by two medical doctors, and I sent it away, and that was like the answer. And after that, you know,
love to see that article. That's so cool.
So, you know, back then, no internet, you don't just Google horticultural therapy or organizations. And that, it was like the answer to combine horticulture and therapy. Mm-hmm. So that's how I think I've, and it was like, I don't mean to take your words away from you, like, aha, oh my God, mm-hmm. I could do this like as a profession because it combines my two loves. Plus on the side of the human side and the services for individuals, I couldn't envision myself being like a special ed teacher, for example, like in a classroom, because mm-hmm. My love is like to be with plants or outdoors, working with mm-hmm. nature, not like
a rigid structure environment.
Yeah, yeah. And with all, like, no disrespect to anybody that wants to be in a classroom, I knew that it could combine both indoor, as I was learning, classrooms or rooms, if you will, just like I did for 40 years at work and mm-hmm. 2 years before that, as well as outdoors, and that there was this whole vast field of horticulture that there'd always be something new. But the issue then was, what about school? So back when I would have started my freshman year in 1974, 75, there were only a few places, and I know this is gonna be kind of like, haha, funny, but Kansas State University at the time gave the undergraduate and graduate degrees. And in all honesty, I just couldn't picture living in Kansas for 4.5 years. And it was 4.5 because they have 4 years plus internships back then. And I just, no matter how much I knew that, yeah, right, this is what I want to do the rest of my life, haha, and I'm still doing it, I just couldn't live in Kansas. So I did what many of us did back then, which is choose the major, if you will, in either the human services and psychology, et cetera, or horticulture. Mm-hmm. So I ended up, after spending a freshman year at Brandeis University thinking I could do it because they had a greenhouse on the biology building, I knew it wouldn't work. So my parents supported me in transferring, where I ended up as a transfer at Cornell, my second year majoring in horticulture. Back then it was called floriculture and ornamental horticulture, but I was very lucky to have some professors in different departments, our plant identification professor, who helped me with a, ended up being a booklet that Cornell published on designing barrier-free areas. I started a program for, in the schools, back then students weren't completely integrated into the school. They were really in self-contained classrooms. So I started a special needs guarding program for second and third graders in the school. And that was under the direction of another professor. And then a third in the department of, back then it was human development and family services. I worked with a master's student and we started some raised bed gardening at what then was not yet called assisted living, but it was homes for elderly with mixed levels, not quite nursing home, not quite independent. It was like a mix. So I was very lucky to have really awesome professors at Cornell for whom this was new to support me. So I ended up with the degree in horticulture, minor in education and related subjects like psychology. And then after I graduated, I over a period of years, I took like 21 extra credits in everything from abnormal psychology to brain and behavior to autism to multiple disabilities. And it just, I never pursued a master's per se, but took like a lot of extra classes.
So you had, you were going for an undergrad in horticulture and then you were additionally taking a lot of social science or psychology classes. And so did you, was that perceived as a minor or just an additional?
Like a minor.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Because Cornell couldn't give like a degree the way now, like some schools or programs that give certificates or like
a concentration or something.
Yeah. There was nothing like that then. So that's what many of us had to do. Whereas other people back in the 70s, may have majored in psychology or abnormal psychology or special needs or gerontology or whatever, and then did the opposite with the horticulture. Got it through other outlets.
And remind me, so the name of what we now know as American Hort Therapy Association was called what at that time again?
N-C, Erin Swerling, T-R-H. It's a mouthful, National Council for Therapy and Rehabilitation Through Horticulture.
So did they have any kind of designation for you to apply towards getting some kind of additional training or as you're referred to now as a master in hort therapy? How did you get to that position?
I'm trying to remember which year it was, but there was a professional registration level different than what exists now with three different levels. And I was at the 4-year level. So back then it was an HTR, horticultural therapist registered. And then after more years, HTM, and it was more informal. When I was on the national board of directors of—
And now it's back to being HTR.
It's changed and evolved. So people in the field need to be up to date because, but there's different possibilities. Back also, what also happened was when I was on the National Board of Directors for HTA for a 3-year term, the committee I chaired was called the Core Curriculum and Competency Test Committee. And our group, I worked with just a wonderful group in a committee, and we developed the first standard core curriculum, which in part, I don't know extreme details, Erin, you might, is being used today as part, not at all, basis for registration. So what was really good about that was, as in any field, when you graduate for 4 years, it's best if you have what you call minimum competency for going into the field.
Right.
So our curriculum that we developed then over time, and that's evolved, became useful for people seeking their own programs because we had a list of coursework, like basic coursework in horticulture, basic coursework in disabilities, for example.
Right.
So those were the only things that existed, the national level of registration as it was evolving.
Right.
Still to this day, hopefully one day we'll be licensed, but there was nothing like that then. So we had to kind of find our own way. And so my path from the African Violets in ninth grade to that secretary who was like an angel from heaven to find out that there is horticultural therapy, to figuring out, since I was a college bound
daughter in my family was how to put it together, which many of us struggle for. So I feel like I got this incredible basis in horticulture, which is critical, not as practical, say, because it was Cornell, so it was 4-year oriented. And then some good background in disabilities, and with the independent studies I mentioned, with the elderly and with the special needs students, it really put it together. Whereas now, it could be an internship now with those populations. Mm-hmm.
But they were, and you were working with those various populations at Cornell. Was there a specific realization that you appreciated maybe focusing on a population rather than trying to say, I want to work with all different populations? I mean, what drew you to the position that you started to work at Perkins and that population?
You're asking good questions. I think like many of us professionally, we learn to understand that it's okay to have preferences. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather work with this kind of a population or with this age, and to find out, as one does through internships and being mentored and exploration in the field, you find out. So what I discovered was that although I really enjoyed working with elders, say, but back then it was this really neat grant where I had to start programs from scratch. And if I knew then what I knew now, how different it would be. But it was all different levels of elders. When I was in the school, it was approximately like late elementary age. I loved working with the kids. And then my second position I had in terms of a job after graduating from Cornell was in upstate New York, where they started one of the first horticultural therapy programs when state hospitals at the time in the early 80s were closing. So a lot of mentally ill patients from hospitals were out in the community being sent to group homes. And there was a special brand new horticultural therapy program that started. And I was hired to be in charge of one of the greenhouses for the lower functioning people.
Where was that, Deb? I didn't know that.
Saranac Lake, New York, right near Lake Placid, where I was. Saranac Lake, New York.
I wonder if that's where my brother works now.
It's like right near Lake Placid. I happened to have the job the year the Olympics were in Lake Placid in 1980. So I got to go to the Olympics, but it was really cool.
So cool. Listeners can't see, but Irene just did her hands up.
Well, you know, to be in the ice arena the night of the gold medal performance was pretty exciting.
Awesome.
So just happened to be there. And I think I found out through these various experiences at school, doing independent studies, working community, and this, that I enjoyed most working with younger rather than older in general. Not necessarily infants, preschool, and not necessarily not over 80. So that helped, and then narrow it down sort of, but in terms of the personal life and how I ended up moving from New York State to Massachusetts is a whole story in itself. But in that process, I contacted everyone or every program that was listed in our national NCTRH membership directory and wrote letters and made phone calls. There was no internet, saying something like, I don't remember, I'll be moving to the Boston area. What do you have? And that's how I ended up at Perkins. Mm-hmm. So I ended up speaking with a former colleague who's since been retired, who connected me with a supervisor who hired me, and another one that hired me. In between the two of them, they created the first job ever there that was full time.
Cool. And again, those populations are very specialized as well, as far as means of communicating with them and working with people who are visually impaired to completely, you know, unsighted. And also there are people who they can't hear. So what other training did you go through, and did the school provide any of that training for your professional development?
There was some professional development was pretty good. Over the 40 years at the School for the Blind, Perkins School for the Blind, it included all kinds of in-services on anything related to disabilities, blindness, writing individualized education plans, and writing behavioral objectives, because it was a bona fide program, which I think is good for people to know, in that I wasn't a volunteer. I wasn't on contract. It was a full paid staff position that built the program from scratch, with due credit to two teachers that started it 6 months before I got there. And it was integral to the IEPs, which are how students are educated there by law. So that's really important. But
for those who don't know what IEPs are, can you translate that, please?
So an IEP, and there's different acronyms for other states, is an individualized education plan, which is a legal document that basically summarizes all the services, both recommended once that document is signed, that need to be legally offered to the students. Mm-hmm. And they range in category from behavioral objectives to communication to social. So the horticulture therapy might fall under just horticulture, under vocational, under communication. It varied, but it was an integral part. It wasn't like an extra thing. So therefore, documenting what I did and legally having to report on it quantitatively was important. However, the school also had a reimbursement policy for college courses. So some of those, I don't know if I was clear, the extra credits I took after undergrad, somewhere in undergrad, I took at Framingham State College, at Lesley College, really great schools that had to do with brain and behavior, abnormal psychology. The Lesley College had great classwork on disabilities. There was one just on, and back then we called it autism. So for me and for other staff, it was really a good benefit to be able to take college courses, because, you know, like 300-400 a credit back then.
So, I mean, that is some incredible training, and the fact that you had your epiphany at such a young age as well, or, you know, throughout several young ages, is really a unique circumstance, because not many people have that, you know, in our profession. They discover it later in their life, et cetera. Yeah. One thing, you know, Erin's going to ask a question, but I have to ask, did you ever garden with your mother or your father or a relative of any sort that even got you maybe into it a little bit before your teacher brought an African violet to school?
The funny thing is, I have one sister. She's the one that planted the radishes and the lettuce out in the backyard. And I may have been around, but she also went into the field. So there's two of us in the same family, which is also unique. Oh. She's the one I wasn't. I was like the music person, you know, social justice projects. And so I wasn't. And even at Cornell, Irene, you know, if for any of us that have gone through a four-year bachelor's degree in the field of horticulture, it can be academic versus what one might get at a two-year or vocational school. So I really gardened when I started with friends of mine that were fellow horticulture majors by having our community gardens or near our houses at school is how I really learned. So I had agronomy, I had entomology, I had plant pathology, physiology, you know, the Woody's course, Woody identification, where you learn 350 trees by species and you know them all by name.
Did that.
So, you know, the final exam was a 2.5 hour walk around with our professor, and he could ask you anything about any tree on campus. Yeah, now I hope I remember a maple from an oak, but, you know, back then. So all of those courses were amazing, because I think what's important in the field also is that people really know, like any other field, whether it's occupational therapy or dance therapy, you have to have a really good background understanding practically and theoretically of the content of what you're using for therapy.
So are you competitive with your sister about plants?
No. Deb, what would be your favorite plant then to like to use in like your practice?
Favorite plant? Oh my God.
I know there's so many, but.
Is there a go-to?
Go ahead.
See, in my field, I have to pick one for every sense of the five senses. I think based on my experience with students with visual disabilities, multiple impairments, I have to pick a succulent. The panda plant, Calanchoe tomentosa, is one. And then if I may, even if you edit this out, the any variety of scented geranium. the pelargonium species, particularly the peppermint one, which has a very strong peppermint fragrance and an amazing leaf, but also in another category, the plectranthus, the scented Swedish ivies. Mm-hmm. And then within edible, just the things that the kids loved picking, and they're maybe more common, but like purple beans or cucumbers that were really big, anything that's really easy to pick because the kids had success.
You're not alone. In our interviews, we've had at least two, maybe three, maybe you're the third person to say the scented geranium and the plectranthus as well. So yeah.
There's so many.
I love plectranthus.
And there's so many varieties within each of those. Plus they propagate really easily for anybody working in the program. Yeah. And then they have multiple benefits from the five senses, texture, visual, and fragrance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's a huge list after that.
Well, thank you so much for your wonderful wealth of information and your anecdotal information that you shared with us today, Deb. It's inspiring for so many people to hear the different journeys that those in HT go through. And we really hope that this translates to any of our listeners today to feel inspired and maybe think about, you know, what age you don't have to be young, you can be older to get into this field. But we thank you very much, Deb, for sharing with us today.
Thank you for asking.
Very much. All right, everyone. Until next time, have a good night.
Bye.